Welcome to the West Coast Project Podcast. My name is Mike, and tonight I'm going to go over the details in the first episode of the show, True Detective. I've had some friends ask me why I haven't spoken about this show in podcasts. I really do like the show. I didn't like it at first, but I grew to like it after watching how the story was developed and some of the psychology behind the story through interviews by the writer and by the director that are the creators of the show. There's one writer and one director basically through these eight episodes in the series of the anthology. I really like the way that they use art and symbols to reveal the clues, and they really explore life, religion, relationships, loneliness, all these other aspects around life that are much, much greater than just another police crime drama. The creators of the show describe the title of this episode, The Long Bright Dark. They kind of mean the episode has a reflection of the Louisiana landscape with lots of light, bright sunshine, but dark spaces in between. And so they talk about this environment being as much a character in the show as the people are in the show. The environment of the Louisiana bayou and the area around it is the religion and the economy of the area, as well as the geography and the overall look of the physical aspects of that environment. It carries the weight of it being a character in and of itself. And the people that are in the show are affected by that environment as much as they would be affected by another character influencing them and affecting them in their lives. They also talk about how the tree where the first victim is positioned next to has its own symbolic meaning. It's very stark. It stands out in a field all by itself, this giant old tree, and how a tree has roots and branches that reach out, similar to like capillaries and veins in the human body. There are a lot of interconnecting different parts that make it a complicated symbol in the story. When you see Marty and his family, I originally really wanted to pull for them. You want them to be happy and stay happy and be together. You see this great looking family on the surface, these two beautiful little daughters and his beautiful wife and their comfortable home. And you just really kind of wish for it to be real and stay together and not swirl out of control like it looks like it may have the chance to do. But we start to see the hints of the cracks in this foundation of the family as Marty is using the family for his source of support, but he's not really offering as much. And they make that pretty apparent right up front, and it actually evokes a feeling of sadness in watching it start to happen. So we see part of Marty's life directly through the screen as we view the episode, but we also see Cole's view of Marty's life, and that reveals something about Cole himself, which is also very interesting. In his environment, he doesn't have anything that Marty has, and it really stands out by contrast that Cole's lacking what Marty has puts a lot of value on what Marty has, and it also very much clarifies what Cole does not have. Cole has a lot of strength inside when it comes to following up and knowing his job and using the right techniques to get success out of his job, but we begin to see that he's very fractured inside. He has to start drinking as an alcoholic who stopped drinking for X amount of time. I don't think we're clear yet as to the length of his alcoholism and his refraining from drinking, but he has to start drinking again upon this meeting Marty's family, as he knows he's going to encounter these little girls and the wife of his partner, and kind of in reflection see what he doesn't have anymore and possibly be evaluated by these people and maybe be revealed a little bit. And it's too much for him. He can't handle it, so he has to start drinking again before he has this dinner with the family at Marty's house. So when this all happens, we see some more hints about Marty not noticing the things right under his nose, that Cole's Cole's talking to Marty's wife and him being able to express himself a little bit, you can start to see how healing it is for him. He starts to feel better or look better just by talking to Maggie, Hart's wife. And Hart's wife starts to feel better by having this other person that she can talk to and listen to and be heard by in her conversations with Cole. So right under Marty's nose, he's missing the whole point when he says, this is a guy that you don't want to dig into and you don't want to get to know what's going on in his head. And that's exactly what Cole needed. And Marty doesn't see that's exactly what Maggie needed too. And as professional workers, as professional detectives, they start to see that this is a case that's new to them. That's probably something that neither of them have ever seen before. So in the producers even say that because this is such a new problem that Marty relies on his going by the book, just the regimented style that he has, where Cole more relies on instinct and tries to interpret the psychology behind what he's seeing and what he is interpreting from all the clues that they're approaching. So they're really a poorly matched couple as far as two types, similar types of personalities, but they may be able to use these oddly mismatched personalities to reach conclusions successfully in their jobs. Hart is really good at managing the system and buying time and getting extra resources or time that they need in order to proceed with the case. And Cole rejects all this because he's better at the psychological end of it, but they each need what each other has in order to get through the maze of, you know, all these problems and clues and obstacles that they have to manage during their progression towards a solution in the case. So the writers want and creators want to you as a listener and viewer to see how these men are in their early parts of their careers, what they've become later on in their careers and in their interviews by the investigations in 2012, which, you know, we're jumping back and forth in time in this episode and in all the episodes. And then the difference, why and how these men became the way they are in 2012, based on, you know, their speaking in those interviews and then what they've done in the interim, in the time that's passed. We see how these two men develop in the show. So without going over all the specific timelines of the episode, we know that there's a victim that's been posed ritualistically by a tree. Cole and Hart are investigating. Cole has met Hart's wife. They've hit it off a little bit in that she likes to listen to him. Cole, in rejecting his ride home that's been set up by Marty, tells us that he likes the scenario. He likes being in the conversation with the Hart family and with Maggie. The action in the principal part of the show is being recalled from 1995. Cole and Hart had a falling out in 2002. And this particular interview by the new detectives is being made in 2012. There's been a new victim. So they're questioning how there can be a new victim if the crime was solved back in 1995. So there is a lot more psychology to come in the upcoming episodes, and many ways to interpret it, and we'll do so in those podcasts.